about his career, especially if you've enjoyed. Oh, and there have been days when I playfully said, you know, this is a day when I ought to turn my certificates towards the wall, you know, with a sense of, you know, things didn't work out, something went awry.
Yes.
And then one day it occurred to me that I always got a laugh when I was on my feet speaking, saying, it was a day when I felt like turning my certificates towards the wall. And then I thought, well, how would I feel if somebody stepped in my office and said, Jake, why don't you turn your certificates towards the wall? I might not think that was funny at all, so I stopped saying it. But
well, as a former epidemiologist, what do you make of the AIDS situation?
I have just heard on TV the belief that there, you know, that this is of enormous depth. That, and it is, if you take one facet of it, it looked like, as in certain other kinds of serologies, that if you were positive, that perhaps only a small proportion went on to, you know, advanced and fatal disease, because we're at the moment where I believe for almost everything there are biological exceptions. There appears now to have been one person who survived rabies. We didn't think anybody ever would, and it appears. And perhaps someday there may be somebody who survives AIDS, provided, you know, certain things are done. But up to now, no one has done it, because you cannot do this in everyday adult life. You're exposed to organisms which will invade you if you don't have a proper immune. So the belief now that a higher and higher proportion of these people, heterosexual people, will have contact because of the makeup of our society and will be testing positive, and that a much higher proportion of those people will break down into clinical disease than we thought. Now, sometimes the period of breakdown is so far advanced that you die from some intermittent cause.
Yes.
In the epidemiology of diabetes, if you're going to learn, you know, if you're going to take its full genetic potential, on the average, you have to live to be 92. Now, a high proportion die before that, but will they, you know, time from now? Because perhaps to get back to an earlier time, we have come to feel that we're a much more important determinant in our lifespan than we had thought. You can still be in great health and be inattentive and be run over by some large vehicle. But if you do not smoke, drink in moderation, exercise, keep weight control, have sufficient blood pressure testing, and the kinds of things that are done in a routine things, watch not only the amount you eat, but its makeup. We've discovered that between the 1970 and the 1980 census, that for the first time we lengthened the life of adults. Up to then, our lifespan lengthening, which had been dramatic from the turn of the century until 1970, had been done by saving the lives of the little. The first, you know, the first day, the most hazardous day was the day of birth, and then the second day, and so on. But now we're in between those two census figures. We actually added, I think, 2 years, 9 months to the lifespan of adults. We don't know what we've done, but when you look around, it looks like we're continuing this. So we have AIDS at one end, you see. Now the young and the middle age, or those perhaps who sometime back were transfused. Now we have an epidemic of Alzheimer's disease. 85 and over are the most rapidly increasing group in our society, proportionately. And of these in nursing homes, about one half of these are losing intellect, either from repeated strokes or from Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease is described as the illness that kills two, the person who has it and the caretaker, and you nod because you know that. It is a good way to look at it, and I know a number of families that are undergoing this at the moment. And a terrible tragedy, and the cost for this is going to be an extremely high one, as perhaps the somewhere in the range of 1.5 to 2.5 million people who now show early symptoms have this. So just when you think that you've got a pretty good control on something, it is fine to be able to save lives. And we work very hard at this in public health. But in lengthening the lifespan, so often introduced, what is the quality of life? Is there much quality when you no longer recognize your own children? And we have the terrible decisions to make. What should we expend on this? How should we behave in this? how shall we try to save those who look as though they've arrived at a very last day and beg for release? But to get back to your AIDS business, the first dean of our medical school, a Nobel laureate, incidentally, and maybe out of that comes my admiration for Nobel laureates, said that is the sort of thing that you cannot answer without biological test. And what he meant was you have to see what time does to these kinds of things. That prediction of what it will do is extremely dangerous. At one end, we saw what Masters and Johnson saw out of their experience, in which it was increasing very rapidly, and they then extrapolated this as to the number of infections we probably had. Because of certain, perhaps, control elements, that is a lessening of the number of sexual partners in an element of society that's better controlled than it was. But among the young, and the very large number of pregnancies now between folk who are unmarried, and the very large number of 15-year-old boys who admit to sexual experience, not to mention girls, there the transmission of disease unprotected by condoms both leads to an enormous number of pregnancies, some of which are terminated by abortion and some of which are not. So I would not have been a sufficient seer when I came to North Carolina to have predicted what the problems were 34 and a half years later. But one set of problems goes, and because man ultimately must die, new sets of conditions prevail, and we've always tried very hard in North Carolina to be prepared.
Dr. Kuhman, it has been a great pleasure visiting in your home, and I thank you very much for all that you have done for public health in our great state.
It's been a joyous day. I'm not so good an actor that I could portray joy if I did not feel it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dan.